Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in and hope that you listen for the duration of the program. But we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time studying on the program, feel free to contact us at the information that's given either by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's begin reading with verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many were wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things that are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. What we see in these verses is a ever-present conflict between conventional wisdom of the world and the revealed wisdom of God. Conventional wisdom changes with each generation, but the wisdom of God does not change. Our faith in the wisdom of God yet is tested daily. Often we're overwhelmed and we're confused by the wisdom of those that call themselves experts. We often are treated like ignoramuses if we choose the Bible over conventional wisdom. And we are repeatedly bombarded with conventional wisdom, which tends to gradually pull us away from the wisdom of God. What I want us in our study today to look at five subjects that test our faith as a Christian in the wisdom of God over the conventional wisdom of this world. The first thing is, take the origin of man. You know, conventional wisdom now says that man evolved. But it's sort of like what Romans 1, verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. You know, they would have us, you know, they would have to have had the first pair to make the first human baby. Now, how did that happen? They would have had to have come from eternal matter or else from created matter. And, you know, this whole thing with animal rights that we hear so much and see advertised so much, it is a movement that's rooted deep in evolution. But the Bible says that man was created by God on the sixth day of creation. This we read in Genesis, the first chapter, noticing, and we start to read in verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So again, the conflict that we see is, conventional wisdom says man evolved. The wisdom of God tells us that we, you and I, were created by God. Another area that we see this conflict of wisdom is the nature of deprived behavior. Conventional wisdom's two most popular approaches to what the Bible calls sin is that they either accept it as different, but not necessarily wrong, or else they treat it as a disease, be it physical or psychological. But the Bible treats it as a moral problem. The result of a moral decision. And it can be repented of. It can be overcome by faith. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, we see how that it cured without modern medicine, without genetics, or even without psychology. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So we see the conflict in this conventional wisdom and the wisdom of God. Another area is when it comes to the operation of the home. You know, again, the quote experts of this world have removed two things from homes. One is the over-under relationship, and the other is the effective discipline of the child. Those who respect God's wisdom, on the other hand, will include both. The over-under relationship is very much explained by God in Ephesians 5, verse 22, beginning, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. 2, we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. That's the over-under relationship. The husband is to be over the wife is to be in subjection to the husband. When it comes to discipline, here's what we see God's wisdom say. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The American Standard Version says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord." While we're on this point, let's also turn over to the book of Hebrews, to the 12th chapter, and let's begin reading with verse 5. "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are little illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Two, we read a number of things revealed in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 13, verse 24, "He that spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Chapter 22, verse 15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." The 23rd chapter, verse 13, "Do not withhold correction from a child, but if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." And in chapter 29, verse 15, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Now, these passages are not talking about abuse. These passages are not even justifying abuse. These passages are talking about simple, punitive discipline that is so needed in the lives of each of us when we were children, and it's the same is true today in the lives of children. So we see that conventional wisdom certainly is at conflict with the wisdom of God. But then there is the function of the church. Some of these experts think that they know more about running the church than the Lord. They think that the end justifies the means. They believe in the concept of give the customer what they want to try and keep in step with the times. But God knows best for the church. Always we be weak and foolish to worldly wisdom, because in worship, Jesus said in Matthew 15:9, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And two, when it comes to the source of the source of salvation is not mankind. It's not social. It's not economic. The source of salvation is the blood of Christ, the gospel of Christ. So again, let's go back. We don't have the time to read verses 27 through 31 and ask ourselves, are we ready to choose God's wisdom over the wisdom of this world? Friends, we see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. It's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.